You're listening to Pigs in a Podcast, the official podcast of K-Pig Radio. I'm Michael Gaither of K-Pig, and as I always say, thanks for taking the time to listen, download, stream, find your way to this curated series. Here at The Pig, we love playing independent music and just artists and songs you probably won't hear anywhere else. And we also love it. We can actually talk to the artists to make that music. And that's what this series is. It's mainly a series of curated interviews from our Neighborhood Night show on Wednesday nights, and along with some other interviews that pop in during the week. This one is very, very cool, as they all are. I hope you're listening. Recently, Roy Rogers, the legendary slide player, was in town, and I actually got to interview him for my other job at the Santa Cruz Sentinel. He came by Moe's Alley for a Sunday afternoon show, and a few days before, he phoned into Neighborhood Night and talked to Jamie Coffus. And Roy's really inspiring. He's not only just one of these preeminent slide players in the world, but he just loves music, and he loves pushing himself. And when I interviewed him for the Sentinel, he said, "I've been playing my whole life, and I'm still looking for the right notes." So he's very talented and very humble. And one quick aside, when I was doing some research for my article on him, which is not part of this, I found an interview with Sammy Hagar, who's Roy's played with before and produced. And Sammy Hagar said that when he watches Roy play, he just doubles over in laughter and rolls on the floor because Roy is just so good, he cannot believe it. It was very cute. Go look up Sammy Hagar and Roy Rogers. But meanwhile, let's hear from Roy Rogers. Here is a recent Neighborhood Night with Jamie Coffus, our own Jamie Coffus, talking to Roy Rogers, recapped here on Pigs in a Podcast.
You are listening to K-Pig Radio. That's KPIG 107.5 Freedom, KPYG 94.9 Cayucas, San Luis Obispo, and KPIG.com, streaming commercial free. It's Neighborhood Night, which is brought to us by Sylvan Music at the corner of Mission and Bay for everything musical with friendly prices for every level of player. And don't forget about their repair department. That's second to none. Thank you, Sylvan Music, for sponsoring the program. And with that, I'm very happy to welcome onto the program the great Roy Rogers. Roy, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. Great to be with you. Just doing fine. Up here in the foothills.
Cool, man. I appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight. The show is this Sunday, Moe's Alley, a 4 o'clock show. You said you were doing a little reminiscing before you got on the phone here, and
I was
thinking about. I mean, you've been coming to Santa Cruz for many years, and you probably have some fond memories of coming.
Well,
down here.
Believe it or not, I started for your older listeners. I started coming to Santa Cruz when the KFAT broadcast used to be, and those were some great times. I used to play there with Norton Buffalo, and those broadcasts were live, and they were just amazing. You know, those times just that's what I was reminiscing about when I knew Laura when, you know, she helped start K-Pig at the beginning. And as you well know, K-Pig was weren't you the first station that went on the internet?
Yeah.
Something like that,
yeah.
Whatever that is, and that was pretty major, and nobody understood understood what that meant at the time, right?
Right, yeah.
Now everybody understands that, but at the time we say, "Oh, that's nice."
Some of us are still kind of wrapping our heads around it, but yeah.
I understand. But anyway, I was just thinking about all that stuff, and it's great to come down. I've always had some great times down in Santa Cruz, so it's been a while since I've been down to Moe's, and I look forward to coming down on Sunday and having a nice show. So.
Yeah, we were talking before we went on about just kind of how audio stuff has kind of really improved over the years. I remember seeing you at the Redwood Mountain Fair some years back.
Yep.
And that's a good example of what we were just talking about, which is the kind of the evolution of you know, these venues are just kind of getting a little more resources, getting a little smarter with the sound equipment. But I mean, you've probably played every single amp under the sun and played through some interesting arrays of speakers and different festivals over the years. And but yeah,
it's really improved. We'll say that like that. I mean, you can really tell as a performer that the technology has gotten so much better. I mean, you know, everybody, when you do a sound check now, just this is an, as an example, everybody has their iPad computer, and they adjust the monitors walking around the room.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you had a monitor guy.
Yeah, and you in some weird corner, yeah.
Weird corner, yeah. And not necessarily the ideal corner,
exactly,
of the room.
Yeah.
And but, you know, Meyer sound, we just in general, in travels, I mean, sound has gotten so much better. And it's not only for the performers, but for the listening audience. I mean, you can hear it better. You don't have to have these gigantic speakers anymore. You can have a relatively small speakers in relation to what was before, and it's affordable for these venues, and it's just better all the way around. So it's really, really noticeable, though, as a performer, for sure.
Yeah, well, somebody like you who is so, you know, keenly aware of their intonation is not, you know, not really relying on frets. It's kind of basic, you know, playing, you know, you're a slide guitar master, and that's your thing, is your, it's ear and taste, and you're making the sound, you're making the note, so you have a little bit more at stake when it comes to, like, making sure you have a very clear ability to hear the notes you're playing.
Yeah, and that's true. You know, you have your own, everybody's got their own rig, like as a guitar player or whatever band, you know, whatever sound you're going for, and you can bring your sound, but you want that recreated as close as possible for the audience listening. And if that's not the case, then you're not coming across to your listeners as you should be, and that's really the crux of the matter. And you can always tell, you know, I mean, as a, when you're performing, you can really tell if people are getting the nuances, shall we say, of the music, or if they're not. And it's because if the PA out front is not appropriate or not functioning properly, then you're kind of like shooting yourself in the foot kind of thing, you know?
So. Yeah, yeah. All right, so I'm talking to Roy Rogers here. He's coming down to Mo's Alley this weekend, playing Sunday at 4 o'clock, a little afternoon show. That should be a lot of fun. I want to ask you about, I just want to take it back a little bit. As a kid in Vallejo, where did you find a slide? What happened when you put it on your finger? And how does a kid from the Bay Area find themselves so wrapped up in kind of Southern blues and slide guitar playing? Where does that come from?
So I was a little rock and roller. I mean I'm what you call a legacy artist now, which means I'm an old guy, right? So whatever that means.
Yeah.
I started playing in the early '60s. So like it was. Came from, you know, it was all about Little Richard and Chuck Berry and all that kind of stuff when I first started playing guitar. But very soon, I heard Robert Johnson's record, King of the Delta Blues. That's as the story goes. And when I heard Delta Blues and Slide in particular, it just blew my mind. I said, what is, it was such a different sound. And it was so expressive, you know. And at that age, of course, you're like a little sponge. I mean, mm-hmm. You're soaking it all up, and you're getting exposed. And together with that, I got to see a lot of the greats. You know, I got to go to the Fillmore and see Muddy Waters and see you know, Jimmy Reed and John Lee Hooker, and I saw Howlin' Wolf at the Avalon Ballroom, that kind of stuff. So I got to see these guys and. It that further blew my mind seeing live recording, but it was a slide guitar. It was mesmerizing to me doing something that really was voice-like. I mean, the slide is basically like a voice.
Yeah.
You know, when you listen to Celta Blues, these guys, it's interchangeable with how they sing and how they play, and it's so expressive. There's many, as we could discuss, there's many different types of blues, and it's whatever you're into, the Delta Blues really spoke to me. So I was playing Robert Johnson when I was in high school in the 60s with my high school band buddy.
Nice. Yeah, and you touched on something that I wanted to that kind of fascinates me about the way you play and just kind of your style, which is it's a voice. And it's a singular voice. It's, you know, every slide solo is going to be just a little bit different than every other one. Every slide player, there's a bit of like a fraternity of you guys, but you all have your own kind of thing, and gals too, of course, and case in point, Bonnie Raitt. You got to play a handful of shows with her earlier this year and over the years. And just, I mean, kind of, what at what point are you realizing, like, this, I kind of have my own way of doing this. And does that, is that something that was attractive to you?
Well, that comes from playing. I can't say that you don't approach it like, so how am I going to have my own way? You just play, and that develops. So that's the way I would answer that question. It's not like you think like, okay, well, I want to play in this style different than this person or that person. I think all your influences come into play, and it just is. You know, I mean, you've got such great players. You've got, you know, I mean, God, a plethora of players. Ry Cooter, of course, Lindley, who's not with us anymore. I mean, so many side players that we could talk about that have all individual styles. I hate to talk about, you know, people say, oh, well, who's the best? Who's better, you know, at the piano? Who's better, you know? Oscar Peterson or you know, somebody else in jazz. I mean, there doesn't have to be a best. I think it's how you communicate. And I think for me, Sly just spoke to me in that regard, and that's why I was so fascinated by it. It wasn't about developing a style per se. I guess I do have a style. I mean, I just did a bunch of shows with Bonnie Raitt. I opened up solo for her, as you probably know. Mm-hmm. And then she would invite me to sit in, and we'd close the show as dueling Sly guitars. We play completely different. But like Bonnie, it's so great for people to hear people approaching it in different manners. And it's not just the interaction on stage, but just how someone approaches the instrument, which is what you're addressing.
Yeah.
And I love that. There doesn't have to be anyone that's better than, or it's whatever moves you. That's how I basically say it. Listen to music that moves you, period, whatever it is and whoever plays it. And that's it for me. I don't worry about styles or this or that. It's about, you know, and frankly, I would also add, you know, I didn't just listen to guitar players. I listened to a lot of horn players. You know, the slide guitar can basically function like a horn. You know, the jazz cats like Ben Webster and mainly the R&B guys. But like, you know, slide can function basically like a horn. It can do, you know, single note lines like that. So when you're improvising, similar kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it's just a very interesting concept of, you know, it's a kind of instrument that is so, the way that you're playing, you're not limited by frets, right? So you have, yeah, so you're, the way you come up to a note or down to a note or bend it is so, is going to inevitably become very, you know.
It's a conversation.
Yeah, but also it's just like you have a way of doing it, and like, and I get that you're not, you know, it's not something that you set out to do. But of course, at some point, you're probably sitting around going, "Okay, that's kind of this is kind of here. My wheelhouse is a little bit like this. You just have your certain proclivities, perhaps."
Yeah, and plus, associated with that, I would also add, very importantly, and certainly in relation to blues, Delta blues in particular, the rhythm is crucial.
Mm.
You know, it's not just about the notes or how slow or fast you play.
Absolutely.
It's the rhythm, because the rhythm is crucial to expressing yourself in relation to the instrument. And I like messing with the rhythm.
Yeah.
I do. I like messing with it. I've always wanted to stretch the envelope in that regard and not, I mean, some things you want to play straight ahead. Sure, it's cool. I have nothing against that. But like, sometimes you want to stretch it in a way that's just different, not just because it's different, but because it's a different way of expressing. So I've been fortunate to collaborate with a bunch of folks, you know, and stretch it in ways that wouldn't have been possible without that collaboration. Ray Manzarek, for example, people like that, or John Lee Hooker, obviously Norton Buffalo kind of thing. So that's a crucial thing too, because the rhythm is really part of it for me in relation to performance and playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you, when you get together with someone like Bonnie, and you guys are kind of, you know, you're nose to nose there with the guitars, and I'm sure you get to you end up collaborating with a lot of other slide people, and you know, just blues people in general. But when it's something where you know there, it's you're kind of filling a similar sonic space. But you guys have your own way of doing it, and talk about kind of making sure that you guys are covering different ground a little bit, but also, but of course, you're occupying a very similar frequency, if you will.
Like, yeah, I mean, for example, not only with Bonnie Raitt, but Sonny Landreth and I mean, we play completely differently, but we had this great gig that we played together, and it was really a special gig. Completely different styles, but it was just, shall we say, copacetic. It was just went together so well, and it's not just a respect thing, but it's just allowing space and seeing where you can, how else would we say it, kind of go between the lines,
right,
if we can use that term. And what does that mean? That means you're looking for that space that's kind of indescribable. It takes playing, and that's what you get in the moment. You know, you can't. That's the kind of thing. Now, I talk about this a lot. You know, when you can't just make those special things happen. They either happen or they don't. And don't try to hold on to them because they'll go away. Mm. And that's what part of the reason you play. You're trying to reach for it. And that I don't think that ever goes away. You know, you're always going for it. You know, you got to jump out the pier and swim somewhere, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a good way. It's a good description of that mindset. And it's, I mean, that's what's so fun about music and collaborating and playing the kind of style that you play, which is that evolution and that journey of kind of finding, you know, the moments and then you know letting them happen and then kind of waiting, going for the next one, but not trying too hard for it, and just you kind of that kind of evolves over time, and it's just a never-ending journey. And
it really is.
Yeah.
It's like I mean, you got to go to a poet, man. There's always a great saying that I have to quote, man. Browning, the poet, said it best: a man's reach must always exceed his grasp.
Mm.
It's a great way to put it, because you can touch it, but you're not always going to hold it.
Mm.
Nor can you, because it doesn't work that way, man, when you try to hold on. And I think that's true of a lot of things, but certainly music, you want to stretch it within your capabilities musically, of course, whatever you could do, but like you're going for it. You have to. And some people like to play it safer, and that's okay if you want to do traditional stuff. I'm not against doing that. It's just for me, you know, when it talks about improvising and writing and playing, certainly live performance, you know, I'm not there to recreate what you heard on the record. I'm there to play it live, and it may take a turn here or there, and it's of the moment, and that's what it is. You know, that's what I've always liked. So anyway, that's
yeah.
It.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very fascinating concept to think about, just the idea of creativity and being in the moment and applying, you know, your feeling to the, you know, the way you play your instrument. It's
I was fortunate enough to play. I'll just do the footnote to that is, you know, I was fortunate enough to play, not only produce, but to perform with John Lee Hooker. So when you play with a guy like John Lee Hooker, who was one of the quintessential bluesmen of all time, you never knew where he was going to go, man. And that was the fascinating part and the joy of playing with a guy like John, because it could go, and not every night, but it could go as deep as anybody can ever take anything deep, and it had that possibility at all times. So to just be there and be in a supportive role, or whatever kind of role you want to describe, you know that it's possible in those kind of situations. So I was very fortunate to say, man, if I can even tap into a minuscule part of what that's about, man, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah. Well, it's ongoing, man, and I'm talking to Roy Rogers, and it's going to keep going this weekend at Moe's Alley, Sunday, the 22nd here. It's a 4 o'clock show, which I think is kind of an interesting Well, I think put you in a different kind of mindset just right off the bat, playing a kind of afternoon Sunday blues thing. Kind of talk about what people could expect. Yeah,
I look forward to that. It's been a while since I've been, but doing a Sunday afternoon show, it's been a while since I've done something like that. And it is a different mindset, not mindset, but it's a different, it's a different. Vibe to playing, and you still go for it, but it's what more of a concert kind of thing. People, depending on the moods and of the crowd and what kind of thing they're in, but like we're always going for it. So like it's not going to be that much different than playing at night or something for me, because I'm always going for it anyway. So bring your high energy shoes and. I like to see people move, and whether they move or just stay in one spot, we're going to be rocking anyway. So
right on. I mean, your idea of what's going for it might change, between Saturday night and Sunday morning. They always say it's a fine line between Saturday night and Sunday morning.
What side of the bed did I get up on that morning, right?
Yeah. What was the traffic like coming down?
Exactly, man.
So speaking of moving, I would encourage people to move over to the internet and get themselves some tickets for Moe's Alley, because I don't know how many are available, but I'm sure they'll be going fast. And that's Sunday at 4 o'clock. And you're moving around California for the rest of the year here, and you got some... I mean, we touched on it a little bit. You had some fun with Bonnie Raitt in March, but you got some stuff to look forward to for the rest of the year. Is anything kind of sticking out to you, or what else should we look forward to?
Well, what's sticking out to me is I'm just getting ready to mix a new recording.
Oh,
I haven't
great.
Been in a studio since pre-COVID.
Okay.
And so, I don't record like to go hit the road or something like that.
Right.
I record when I'm ready and have material that I think strong enough, kind of thing. And it's been a while, and I've it's always a combo plate for me, man. I do some solo stuff, something on a national steel band. Mm-hmm. It covers a lot of bases, not something straight ahead. And something more rocking kind of thing. So I'm really had a lot of fun in the studio. Probably won't be out until the fall, but I'm really getting ready to, as I say, I'm getting ready to mix and master it with my engineer, Joel Jaffe, and it's exciting. So I could tell you that the tentative title is called The Sky's the Limit.
All right.
And that's the way I feel at this point.
Awesome.
Just put it that way.
Well, that's great news, and we'll keep an eye out for that. And when that's ready to go, you promise me you'll send us some copies, and we can have another. I would love to chat with you about that when that's about ready to come out.
Not a problem. I appreciate it. Always good to talk, man. Hope we didn't get too philosophical on you, but that's part of the deal, right?
Oh yeah, I could have done this all night, man. We'll get deeper next time, I hope. But
fair enough.
The great Roy Rogers is coming to Moe's Alley this weekend, Sunday, for a 4 o'clock show, and go check that out. And Roy, thank you so much for coming by. That was a really fun conversation.
Thanks so much, man.
All right.
Have a good one.
You too.
And a little bit of Roy Rogers himself to fade out there from a CD track. You know, all these interviews that I get to listen to and redo, and actually do myself sometimes from my other job. A lot of musicians talk about their songwriting and what influenced them. Some talk about guitars and what they play. Roy talks kind of, like Jamie said, philosophically about music and his approach to what he does. And it's very inspiring. So, good stuff. I got the same kind of vibe when I was interviewing him for the paper. But that was Jamie Coffis on Neighborhood Night talking to Roy Rogers before he played Moe's Alley a couple of weeks ago. Just one of the preeminent slide players. And what a nice guy. That was just, I'm glad we got to both spend some time with him, actually. And you did as well. Thank you for listening to Pigs in a Podcast. That was episode number 145. And I didn't mention this at the beginning, but you can find this series wherever you find your favorite podcast. It's at kpig.com. That's where I post all these, but it also makes its way over to Spotify and Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and some other podcast catching spots along the interweb. So subscribe to this if you like, and we'll send you the newest interviews automatically to your device of choice. Coming up next on the next interview, the next episode of Pigs in a Podcast, will be a local favorite of mine and ours, Jackson Emmer. He moved here from the Midwest, Colorado, I think, a couple of years ago, and I got to talk to him before he moved, and he got into town. We were already playing his music, and now he's part of the Santa Cruz scene. He's putting on In the Round shows and producing shows and touring a lot, and he has a brand new record out called Ballad Hymn of the Early Riser, which was featured on KPIG's Fresh Pork Chops a couple of weeks ago. And he did a release party, and before that, he came on to Neighborhood Night with Jamie and played and talked about that. So that'll be up probably next week on this series. So thanks for the interest in this music and the people who make them, and for whatever you do to listen to and support KPIG Radio, just keep doing it, because if you weren't doing it, we wouldn't be doing this. So talk to you soon here at Pigs in a Podcast, or whenever I'm on the air, or wherever. Thanks for making the pig part of what you do. See ya.